Psalm 46 by Shane and Shane just really resonated with what's happening overseas in Israel. There's a lot going on, not only there, but around the world. But we watch Israel, we pay very close attention to what's happening over there because, well, they're God's people, and they're, we know that what's happening there is indicative of when Jesus is going to return. And so we watch what's happening. We need to have our eyes open. We need to have our eyes open. And in America, we have a very incapable president. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is not a friend of Israel. He's an enemy. He has us sitting at the negotiating table with Iran, which is Persia, if you didn't know. And they're negotiating sanctions that President Trump put in place, which was holding back billions of dollars. And so he is looking at allowing money to go to Iran, and Iran is helping Hamas, who is constantly sending missiles to Israel. And so that strip of land, Gaza, is rightfully Israel's land. The news today will have you believing that Israel started this all, and they didn't know that. Hamas constantly from Gaza, constantly is sending missiles towards Israel. 44 of our senators, could be more by now, I don't know. The news changes every minute. But 44 of our senators loudly oppose what's happening. Loudly oppose. They're telling Biden to pull everybody back from the negotiating table. Here's one of the statements from Hamas's charter. It says, "The day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, 'O Muslims, O Abdullah,' which means servant of God, 'there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him.' While they hide behind Palestinians and use them as human shields. The United States has a congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, that says that Israel is promoting racism and dehumanization under an apartheid system that discriminates against Palestinians, and Israel is committing ethnic cleansing." That's what Israel's doing, apparently. It's not the other way around. Rashida Tlaib said to Congress, "Palestinians aren't going anywhere, no matter how much money you send to Israel's apartheid government. And it is our duty to end the apartheid system that for decades has subjected Palestinians to inhumane treatment and racism. So it's really the other way around, and this hasn't been going on for decades. It's been going on for thousands of years. Palestinians are the Philistines. Neither of these people acknowledge the indiscriminate rocket fire that is coming into Israel from Hamas or the right to defend themselves. Countries have a right to defend themselves. News won't tell you that. Israel has a right. Here in America, we also have a gas shortage. Even though they tell you it's all good, we figured it out. We have a gas shortage from Texas all along the East Coast to New Jersey. The economy is on a bubble. Inflation is coming. The housing shortage or the housing market is also on a bubble. People hate the police, who are being stripped of policing powers. It's happening. It's happening increasing more and more as time goes on, if Jesus tarries. And officers are leaving in droves with no one to replace them. I know a lot of police officers. I used to be one, and one of them is telling me in Galesburg here that there's a shortage. We can't find. Now, the ones that are on, we have enough to cover Galesburg, but there's a shortage of the ones that are going to be replacing ones that are retiring. No one wants the job. There is violence, unrest, a cold war, protests all over the globe from Mozambique to Colombia to the Philistines to Australia to China to Israel to Britain to Canada to the U.S. Everywhere. The globe is a mess. And I wrote that Monday before Israel and the uncircumcised Philistines went to war. That's how fast things are ramping up. This world is falling apart, and I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. Recently, there has been a major increase in UFO interest around the world. Trump's former intelligence director, John Ratcliffe, stated, "Frankly, there are a lot more sightings than have been made public. Some of those have been declassified. And when we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen from the Navy and Air Force pilots." Or if they've been picked up on satellite imagery that, frankly, engage in actions that are difficult to explain, movements that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. When asked where the unidentified phenomena were cited, Ratcliffe replied, "All over the world. There have been sightings all over the world. Multiple sensors are picking these things up. They're unexplained phenomena, and there's actually quite a few more than have been made public." End quote. On April 30th, Fox News interview with Tucker Carlson, a former Ministry of Defense official from the UK, Nick Pope, said, "We are under siege. We don't know what these things are, and they might even be extraterrestrial." Just Friday, the Pentagon released another video taken from a U.S. military ship of a spherical object flying slowly over the water, stopping, then diving into the water. And as, if you listen closely, you can hear the personnel taking and watching gasp as it dives down. It might sound like science fiction, but there's not going to be any other way to explain millions of Christians. Not those that, "I'm a Christian." No, those that are true Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ. Those that have confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, those will be taken up. They'll disappear from the earth, and they'll explain it here. They'll explain it that aliens abducted millions. Planes are going to crash. Cars are going to crash. It's going to be mass chaos everywhere. Supply chains will be broken. That means, remember when we were shut down because of COVID? What did Trump say? "We got to keep the supply chains open." I didn't know what that meant. We got to get our food. We got to get our toilet paper. If the supply chains are broken, we can't get things like that. I had a Christian friend I was just talking to, and he said, "They're going to be shooting you from far away, and they're going to come and get your stuff. They're going to get your guns and your ammo to survive. It's going to be like all the movies, like the zombie apocalypse movies. It's going to be chaos. One will rise up with the answer. That one is the Antichrist. But the church is going to be taken up." I share the gospel with people all the time. I talk about these things. Some of them get up and walk away. Some of them listen, their eyes wide. And I always ask them, I point to them, and I say, "Are you ready?" "Well, I don't know." You can know. You can know for sure. But even in this global disaster, everything that's going on, we have hope. We can know that God is. So, Psalm 46. First, we see the direction given to David. It says, to the chief musician, this is part of Scripture. Many times man has added things, titles and things like that to portions of Scripture. But this is part of Scripture, and there are those that would debate it. But to the chief musician, to the best musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth, The sons of Korah are part of the Levitical priesthood. If the Lord releases me to teach on that, I will. One of their responsibilities was to sing in the temple day and night. This psalm was one on their playlist to remind the Israelites that in times of trouble, God is hope. And a song for Alamoth just means it is to be sung in falsetto or soprano. In verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The song starts out with its theme. In times of trouble, distress, dire straits, when there is no way out, God is there to help us. When I was in that ditch after my motorcycle accident, many of you are here and you've never heard my testimony. Some of you might be sick of it by now, but it's my testimony. I was in a motorcycle accident. I was in that ditch. There was no way out. I was paralyzed, and I still am, from the chest down. I couldn't move. I heard my phone ringing. I couldn't get to it. Lord, what did I do? Didn't remember what happened. There was no way out. God was there, and I cried out to him. Write down, God is. Put it on a post-it. Stick it on your mirror so that you see it when you're getting ready in the morning, when you're brushing your teeth at night. God is. God is our shelter. He's our garrison, our fortress. He's a barricade in front of us. He's our ark, just like Noah's ark lifted him up out of the troubled waters. And he is our strength. He's our defense. That's what that means. He is with us and helping us in times of trouble. How easy is it for us to fret and worry about whatever it is we're going through? We panic, we can't figure out the solution, or we think that there is no solution at all, but he is there in his grace and mercy, waiting for us to call on him. If we would remember that God is with us in times of trouble, then verse 2, we will not fear. If God is for us, who can be against us? Even though the earth be removed, changed, altered, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, we still won't fear. Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things present your requests to him with humble prayer and a thankful heart. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. Though the earth's waters roar with tsunamis and hurricanes and floods, though the mountains shake with the swelling of the sea, we will not fear, but we will have hope. Let me tell you about that hope. Verse 4. Here's our hope. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. David also often used parallelisms in the Psalms, and this just means that the first verse reflects, the second verse reflects the first verse. And immediately what comes to my mind is Revelation 22 and the verses in Ezekiel 47. So turn to Ezekiel 47. I'll go there first. Ezekiel 47, verse 1 says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000. And it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed." I was talking to Pastor this week, and he reminded me, he spoke about this years and years ago. I remember it like it was yesterday. He reminded me that there are some that will begin to follow Christ, and they'll just stand on the banks of the river. They won't begin to take advantage of what God has for them. And then there are some that will just go in up to their ankles, some to their knees, some to their waist. And some will dive in to the river, their whole life dedicated and enjoying the Lord. This isn't about your best life now. This isn't about positioning yourself for prosperity, T.D. Jakes, false teacher. Make sure you know what you're listening to. Oh, make sure. False teachers, deception in the last days. Deception. The more you know God, the better this life gets. This life is decaying, but there is joy. Our bodies are dying, but there is hope. Wars are raging, but there is peace. Violence is getting worse and worse. But the more you know God, the only way for me to really know God, to really know someone who is everywhere at all times, who knows everything, who is all-powerful, which means he has supreme power with no limitations. There's no mystical way to know God. I thought for a long time there was some secretive way that my pastor got to know him. I always saw this indescribable joy in his smile. If you haven't met him, pray for him that he will be back so you can meet him. There's this indescribable joy that he has. He would preach about getting into this river of life. I never understood it until my accident. I was in that ditch that I was telling you about. My new life began there. And there was only one way that I could get to know God. There was only one way to dive into that river. There was only one way. If you don't read this from front to back, not just the little devotions that are in the Bible app, oh, I read my Bible today, I read that verse of the day. That's great that you do that. But get in here. Devour it. That's how you get to know God. Meditate on it. Memorize it. And talk to him as much as you can, as much as time allows it. Paul said, pray continually. Get alone with him, saying grace before a meal and calling that your prayer time. Don't do that. That's not enough. The more you read this Bible, the more you pray, the more your life changes, the deeper you are going into that river. If we want to survive this life as a Christian and make it through all the hardship that this world has for us and not lose our faith, if we want to see the river described in Revelation, this must not should, but this must dwell in us richly. If you are only ankle deep, the easier it will be to be deceived and to be swept away from the truth. Verse 12 in the same chapter of Ezekiel, when we read this here, take note of the words that I'm going to emphasize. All along the bank of the river, on this side and that side, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine. Now, let's turn to Revelation, chapter 22, verse 1. Revelation 22, verse 1. It's the last chapter. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb, in the middle of its street, and on either side, this side and that of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. They were for medicine. The river that he saw in Revelation was from the throne of God, and in Ezekiel, it came from the temple where God dwelled over the ark between the cherubim. What Ezekiel saw, we see from the Psalms to Ezekiel to Revelation. The Bible is cohesive and coherent from the beginning to the end. It's inerrant. It's infallible. It's indestructible. If this book has changed your life, somebody should be shouting, should be saying amen if this book has changed your life. It's full of hope in troubled times. Let's read verse 5 back in Psalm 46. Verse 5 says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The pulpit commentary reads, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. While the world is being turned upside down, the church is unmoved since God is in the midst of her. In the middle of this absolute global chaos, God is in the middle of the church, holding it in his hand, gripping it, holding it together. There is hope in trouble. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, he spoke, the earth melted. This is past tense, the earth melted, he spoke. But it is also a prophecy at the same time. 2 Peter 3, verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. But, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is our hope in times of trouble. Verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations of the earth. Unlike the message, I'm okay with the message, but you got to be careful even with that translation. Because I checked it, and it says, for desolation, he plants flowers and trees all over the earth. Eugene is off on this one. Educated man. He's off. The Hebrew word here is shema, and it means waste and horror. That's what desolation is. That's what the Lord's going to do to the earth. The pulpit commentary again puts it this way. The deliverance of Israel from its peril is affected by desolations or devastations which God accomplishes among the nations. The announcement is very vague and general so that it would apply to almost any occasion when the people of God are delivered from pressing peril. This resonates with what's happening in Israel right now. Turn to Ezekiel 38, verses 18, we're going to start at 18, go to 23. It will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall. The mountains thrown into the sea. That's what that means. And every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. You watch these YouTube videos of, or news videos of what's going on in Israel. It looks like fire and brimstone. It's a picture of what's going to happen. Ezekiel 39:1-8 says, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you from the far north and bringing you against the mountains of Israel." God is going to bring them there. "Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the people who are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. And I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. I will make my holy name known in the midst of the people, of my people, Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken." War isn't pretty. I don't think anyone likes it. As Israel defeats their adversaries and rightfully takes back their land, even among the carnage today, there is hope. Look at Ezekiel 38 and 39. Study those. Understand those. Verse 9. In Psalm 46, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He is going to destroy the weapons of Hamas. And now Lebanon and Syria have lobbed missiles in. Israel surrounded by Muslim countries that absolutely hate them. He burns the chariots in the fire. He will burn their vehicles. Even among this, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Turn that around, and if you know him, you can be still. "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." He will be. Another reminder that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's not just a saying, that's in the Word of God. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There is hope. There is hope in what you're going through. There is hope in what's happening in the world. There is hope.